Amen. Well, if you're visiting with us this morning, we just want to welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that you're here. Prayerfully, our greeters, ushers got you a first-time visitor card, and we just want you to know that all that's available to you here, and we want you to know that you are loved, and you have very, very, very high value, because God sent his only begotten Son just for you this morning. Amen? You know, as we were singing that song, Who You Say I Am, and I really want to encourage you to stop saying what you see in your mirror, but to say who he says you are. Oh, man, I'm telling you, if you'll just say who he says you are, there are men in here that have been called pastor to pastor. Now, first and foremost, who we are in him, we are sons and daughters, amen? And there's no higher calling than that. So when we look in the mirror, no, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God. That's who I am. That's my identity, is in Christ Jesus as a son or a daughter of God himself. And then what his purpose is for me is another thing that he says, who you are. Because what you're supposed to be accomplishing here is maybe greater than what you're experiencing. And I don't know about you, but I know every year I get to experience a little bit more of what God has promised me. Amen? That's my focus, and that's my goal, is every day I want to learn not only his word and study and apply that to my life, but then I want to experience all that he has promised. And everything that he has promised, that when I go out, because it's always about going out. Tell your neighbor, say, it's always about going out. If you only come in and this is the only time that the word of God is heard or preached or prayed in your life, then you're missing out on all that God has promised us. And all that he's commanded us, amen? Because you're the light of the world. But as we come in, once we figure out that we are the sons and daughters of God, then nothing is impossible and everything starts to change in our lives. Anne, come on up. I want her to share first this morning just about the goodness and the power of God and what he does for each one of his kids.
I have a bad knee.
So they say.
Had.
I had a bad knee.
Amen.
The doctors say the only hope for it is a full and total knee replacement. And I am believing that I am too young for that. But the last few days, it's been very bad. I've been limping. I've been wondering if I'm going to be able to take teaching jobs this week. And my husband and I were sitting around yesterday afternoon, and I had ice on my knee. I was sitting in my chair with my leg up. And we were debating whether or not we were going to come in for worship last night, because there were a bunch of us here. And I said, you know, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't even want to walk to the car. But I said, all right, I'm going to do it, because all I'm going to do is sit here and feel sorry for myself if I don't. So we got in the car, we came, and I said, you know, I can just sit here. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. And so I sat down, and then a song came on, and the Holy Spirit said to me, dance. And I said, what? I can't even walk. And he said, dance. So I thought, okay, if I go toward the back, nobody can see me. Even if I fall down, no one's going to notice. So I got up, and I danced. And I
More
danced.
More powerful words of
I
faith
danced.
Have never been spoken, you know?
And I danced. And I even my motions were like a pushing through the pain. By the time I was finished, the pain was gone.
Amen.
Now, it didn't hurt all night. I wish I could end the story there. But I woke up this morning expecting pain. I woke up, and I was about to get out of bed, and I said to myself, I'm going to hurt. The minute I stand up, it's going to hurt. And then I said, you know what? I'm not receiving that.
Amen.
I am not receiving that. So I laid hands on it, and I prayed about it. And I'm going to take a step further here, and I'm going to ask you, if you have anything hurting you right now, a joint, a muscle, a tendon, whatever it is, if you got a cold, grab your nose. If you got a broken heart, put your hand on your chest. If you've got a mind full of depression, put your hand on your head. Right now with me, brothers and sisters, and let's just pray, because we are a praying people. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we know that you knit us together in our mother's womb. You know every cell, you know every tendon, you know every bone, Lord, and we just cast out pain. We cast out disease, we cast out weakness, and we thank you, Lord, that you will line up our body the way that you designed it to operate. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Come here. And for those of you who don't know, this is Darren Dusso. And I tell you, when we start to fast and pray, God starts to transform things. Amen? Because some things don't come out except through
prayer. Good morning. So I have a
Had.
From 91, I was diagnosed with cluster headaches. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody knows what those are, but they're like worse than migraine headaches. And Wednesday night...
What do they call them?
They're called cluster headaches. Or they're called suicide headaches because mm-hmm. everybody usually has them commit suicide. And I've been fighting with that for many years. And I try to keep it quiet to everybody, and nobody really knows just because I'm stubborn, and that's just who I am. But, well, I was stubborn. I'm getting a lot better right now. He works a lot of miracles. So Wednesday night, I came to prayer, okay, and I was expecting to be healed. I said, I'm done with these headaches. I was expecting it. So when we came into prayer, and I said, I want you guys to pray, because I know that two or more people gathered. He's here, so he's hearing us. He's with us, and his desire is to give us this, okay? That's his desire. It's just, what do we expect? We have to walk out in it. When we do, guess what? Miracles happen. Things happen. I've been headache-free now since Wednesday with no headaches. I'm not waking up all hours of the night with many headaches, okay? So I encourage you to step out, okay? Pray for one another and expect it. And you're going to get the results when we're expecting it. Thank you.
You all can go home now. You heard the word of the Lord. Go find somebody and pray for them, because you know who you are. And once you know who you are and who possesses you, the Holy Spirit, then nothing is... Uh-oh. No, you don't have to come up here, Miss Catherine. Hang on a second, though. We're going to... Now you have to do what I tell you to do, though, with the microphone, okay?
Oh, all right. Okay.
Got to hold it up here, though.
I don't need the mic, though. But anyway, listen.
I'll hold it for you, because they can't hear you in there.
Oh, okay. Listen, I'm 86 years old.
Come on.
And I'm telling you, God answers prayers.
Amen.
Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't try to see him healing you. Mm. Just believe within.
Yeah. Amen.
And wait and persevere in faith.
Yeah.
Knowing that God will do what he say he will do.
Amen. Amen. Can I say something now? Thank you, Miss Catherine. I tell you, you start to fast and pray, and it starts to stir up people. Amen. It starts to stir people up in faith. And this is what it's about. It's not about coming one person speaking every week, but it's about each one of us walking in the fullness of what God has promised. And so it's just so much fun. You know, as we, a few weeks ago, you know, we've been looking at the Stuyvesant Church and the elders don't leave here without signing the letter of intent, okay? So they asked us to write up a letter of intent of what we want to do. And we wrote that up. We're going to sign it and mail it in. But, you know, we took up an offering. We said we need to raise $30,000. And God is just so good. We were a little bit short. And then today the rest of it came in, and now we're over $30,000 with one offering. So... I just want to say thank you to everyone that gave, because what you gave to, you didn't give to buy church. You gave to preach the kingdom. You gave to expand the kingdom. You gave because when other vision failed, when other vision failed, someone else comes in and God stirs up a heart to touch another area, and you're sowing into an area of everyone that lives over there. All of those lives, every dollar that came in is sowing in to the souls of the men and women that live there. That's how we have to see whatever we give. And so thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for giving. And thank God that before we even bought it, it's paid for. Isn't that good news? Man, wouldn't you like to do that with our houses too, huh? Before you ever bought it, yep, that's paid for. All right. But he's such an amazing God. And I believe that there'll be other churches that we'll be sending teams out to start other works. Because so many of the churches have lost the vision of training and equipping for the work of the ministry. Tell your neighbor, say, that's why you're here today. I know you didn't come to hear me. You came to get equipped
so you could do what God called you to do. That's why you're here. You got to get that thought process out that I came to do some spiritual activity. I came to do my duty before the Lord. I came to please God by coming on Sunday and sowing my tithe into the tithe offering. The tithe isn't yours anyway. You didn't sow what you had. You sowed what he gave you. Amen? I mean, that's the reality of it. But so many get locked up into, hey, I come to church. I gave my tithe. You know, and like one man said, did you tip or did you tithe? There's a big difference. Amen? Listen, the old Catholic days are over, or the Methodist church, $1 a week. That's tipping. That ain't tithing. But you know, when God starts to work in us, faith starts to arise, we realize that all that he has given us is above and beyond anything we could ever ask for or dream of. And it's so easy to give. It's so easy to tithe. But yet when that natural man of the five senses kick in, sometimes it makes it more difficult. But I want to encourage you, everything that you give is for the expanse of the kingdom of God. You're here to be trained and equipped for the kingdom of God and for the work of the ministry, so that when you leave here, you're better equipped to win souls, you're better equipped to pray for the sick, you're better equipped to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and you're better equipped to preach no matter who's around you. Anyone that comes, because it's his word that you preach, transforms people's lives. Just like the three of them came up here this morning. I don't need to preach. You heard about the power of God working in each and every one of them. That's the gospel. The gospel of God changing people's lives. That's what it does. He changed my life in 87. I don't know what year he changed yours. Maybe some of you is 1905. I'm not sure. But you know, as we look at 2020, I really believe that the main thought process for this whole year is just going to be go. It really has to just be go. And therefore, we're going to be breaking things down into segments so that you have all the material that you need to go. We're going to be training and teaching and equipping just so you have to go. That's all God's looking for. He's not looking for you to get it all together before you go. Amen? But the church isn't going. The church is sitting. The church is hanging out. Look around America. We're not talking about us. I'm not talking about you. Some people are looking down, won't even look at me. Some people are mad. Some people are checking the score of the Titan game. Right, Lan? But I want you to know, you're getting trained and equipped for one thing, to go. And it all has to do with vision. If your vision is only you and a house and a car, you've got a very small vision. If your house is only about what you can do in your life, with yourself, by yourself, among yourself, then it's a very simple, scary, sorry life. Amen? Because you have been created to affect a lot of people's lives. You've been created to not only affect, but infect them with the love of God, with the grace of God, with the mercy of God. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I do understand. His word is true, and every other thought in your head is a lie if it doesn't align with the word of God. Everything else that you're running after, you were created in eternity, amen? And you were created for eternity. Do you agree? Right? So we're created in eternity, for eternity, but we've been placed in a place called time. Right? This is why while you're in time, nothing in time is going to satisfy you. You were created in eternity by an eternal God. You're going home to be in eternity again with an eternal God forever and ever. Right now, we have a purpose on the planet, but nothing here will ever satisfy you. Zero. We look for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, but it never satisfied because it can't. You're an eternal being. The only thing that satisfies you is eternal things. That's why changing someone else's life, leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's an eternal purpose. And our hearts just leap. Listening to God healing people, our hearts leap because that healing comes from eternity. It doesn't come from the natural side of things. So I want to encourage you, if you're looking at it from a natural perspective, you got put in time for a short season. But you've come from eternity with an eternal purpose in your heart, and you're going back to eternity. And so for now, nothing on this planet in time will ever satisfy you except temporal. Let's stop chasing after the next thing. Amen? Our Gregorian calendar, it reads that it's 2020. The Hebrew calendar, it reads 5780. Their calendar's a little older than ours. Amen? So what I love about the Hebrew calendar, and now that it's 5780, listen, if you love the 80s are back, baby. Oh, yeah, they're back. I thought about coming out with my fishnet shirt, half, right? Short pink shirts or shorts. Oh, yeah, I was thinking about it. I might better fast for 40 days before I think about it, but... I'm expecting my wife to come in big hair, those little scrungy things, them leg warmers, right? Come on, baby. If you like the 80s, they're back for the next 10 years, and we're bringing it. So it's 5780, and that word, and that number 80, that number 80 in the Hebrew language, it's called pey, P-E-Y, and it means mouth, or by extension, word, expression, or vocalization, speech, and breath. It means mouth. It means to speak. 5780, it means to speak. And in the Hebrew alphabet, just before that, the word, I gotta make sure I read it properly, is ayin, and it's suggesting the priority of the eyes, which means understanding and awareness. So before verbal expression... So what happens is, in the 70s, 5770 through 79, it's been a time of the eyes. We've been ingesting the word, ingesting the word of God, taking it in. It's been transforming and renewing our hearts. Now, in the 80s, it's a time to express it. It's a time to share it. It's a time to go and not be ashamed. It's a time to go and not be scared. Tell your neighbor, say, I ain't scared. All right. You see, it's a time where we're no longer afraid, because it's 5780. It's a whole new decade. The next 10 years we have is a whole different decade than what we were in. And it's a time of expression of the Word of God. So this year, we're going to be the expression of the living God. All that we have seen, everything that's been on the screen, all the scriptures that we put up, all the training and the teaching that we have done, we brought it into our eyes, and our hearts have been changed. Oh, I thank God for changed hearts. When God starts to change our hearts, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and all the issues of life flow out of the heart. So as that starts to get healed, we get that healed and renewed our mind by what we see and what we take in as we read and study the Word of God. But then there's got to be a time in every one of our lives for that expression now to go out. We've taken a lot in, the church has, amen? There's nothing that is not at your fingertips. You got 37 different versions of the Bible on your phone. Maybe 87. I don't have a clue how many are on yours. Everything is at your fingertips, in your ears, before your eyes. You can put on, if you don't have it yet, right now, media. We have it here. It's free for everybody in the church. We pay for it. You can just go on it with your email address, and it's all Christian stuff. For your kids, it's all the VeggieTales stuff, and then there's all kinds of training and teaching and equipping on there. So there's nothing that hasn't been put before our eyes. Amen? Right, and that was the 70s, so we've been ingesting a lot of that. And now it's the 80s, and now it's about the expression of God through each and every one of us. And I really believe that that's a time and a season that we're living in. The expression of His love, the expression of His peace, the expression of His joy, the expression of salvation. That the world can actually see what saved people are supposed to act like. Maybe we didn't act it out good last year, or maybe the whole decade of the 70s. Maybe when pressure came, that new man sort of backed off and that old man raised his ugly head. I don't know if that's going on in your life, but maybe this year, all that God has given us through His Word, we start to look in the mirror, say what He said. We start to look at His Word and say, this is me, no longer waiting on you, but living in you. Therefore, I'm walking in all that you have promised. I'm not waiting any longer. Now I want to be that expression of your love, that expression of your power, that expression of that breakthrough and that freedom to the whole world. Amen? They call the wise one in the Old Testament, or the Hebrews, they call him the Chachma. And it says that he is swift to observe and then to offer an opinion about something. So Ayin gives insight, but it is Pei, the mouth, that gives insight expression. And I believe that some people say they have a lot of insight in natural things. And I believe that we're the ones that are supposed to walk and have the most insight on the planet. Amen? Not into the natural things, but into spiritual things. There's so many that have a lot of insight into everything else under the sun, everything that's temporal. But when it comes to a spiritual conversation, they're very limited in what they share. But not this house, in the name of Jesus. Because when you get asked a question, you're going to have spiritual answers according to the word of God. And as you share that word never returns void, but always accomplishes that which he sent it to do. Amen? So therefore, as you start to allow that expression to live out through you, everybody's lives around you are changed. And all it is simply remembering what he said and then sharing your insight, his word and your insight. This is what the Father has done to me. And we need to be focused on insight into spiritual things rather than the things of this world. There's enough. The world is so focused on the world, we don't need to be. We need to be focused on the hearts and the minds of men and women. Some have not put the truth before their eyes, and therefore they're limited in their insight. I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you've been spending more time in front of watching movies or watching ball games or watching the creation of different machines or watching how the real estate market is rising and falling or the stock market is rising and falling, I want to encourage you, it's a time now to lay those things aside because they're all temporal and they will not satisfy. No matter how much you study it, it will not satisfy. Oh, you might get some finances out of it, but it won't satisfy because no amount of money does. Because there's always a little bit more that's needed or wanted. And most of it is wanted. I believe it was Wesley got to a certain point in his ministry, and then he never took any more finances. He said, all the rest is going into the kingdom. Oh, that each and every one of us would have that desire. He said, "All we got food for our kids, we got clothing for our kids, our house, one room, is good enough. It's enough. When is it enough for the church?" But he said, this house is enough. And we've got enough to sustain us. Now the rest is going to go to be used for the kingdom of God. See, that's what happens when that insight, that spiritual insight comes in. Because we know we're only here for a season. And this is about eternity. So I just want to encourage you, you know, insight is sight but from within. That which we have digested, that which we have given ourselves to. If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 13. Sorry, that was just a prelude. How much time do I have? 20 minutes? Okay. All the mother long-winded preachers. Genesis chapter 13, and we're just talking about clear vision. Clear vision, because if we don't have a clear vision for this year, it'll get muddled, it'll get foggy, it'll get muddied up before the end of February. Before the end of February, we'll slip back into what we were doing last year. I don't know about you, but I don't want to slip back into last year because the 80s are back, baby. I'm slipping into the 80s again. Buy me a Trans Am that I used to have. Yep. Well, I want the 70s Trans Am. I had the long nose. The 80s, they made crud cars, but good music. Well, horrible music, but when you're lost, it was good music. Well, for the saved people, look, he's disagreeing with me, another pastor. So if you have your Bibles in Genesis chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 14 and 15. It says, then the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, he said, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. And then just turn over to 1 Kings if you want to. You don't have to. You can look at it on the screens. I'm going to read that quickly, and then we'll pray. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verses 41 to 43, it says, now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, and there is a sound of a roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, And he crouched down on the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up, and he looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go back seven times. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your loving kindness this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your healing power that you've demonstrated in the sons and daughters of God. I thank you, Father, that all of our sins have been washed away. For those that name the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are gone. You're a new creation. All things have become new. Vision has become new. Future has become new. All of it. God said, I'm remaking you after my heart. I'm remaking you to accomplish what I had ordained in eternity. And it's much bigger than anything you ever dreamed of down here. Father, we're so grateful that today as we begin a new year, we're just barely into it, Father. We know that there's never a new year to you, for you're the God of eternity. There is no timeline in eternity, Father, but it is for us. It's a new beginning. It's a fresh start. And Lord, we want to start it off in faith. And we're going to finish in faith. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Father, that we would see you for who you are. We would see your word, that it would come alive, and everything that we read would just jump off the page, and we would eat it, we would devour it, and it would become the greatest desire of each one of our hearts. Father, for in your words are life and life more abundantly. We thank you, Father, for all that you have begun in us and are able to complete as we surrender to your leading this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so for those that have been fasting, press on. There's some that have had struggles, sickness, and that, and they still pressed on. Listen, if you stumbled and you said, I just can't do it, there's no condemnation. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be condemned. All right, so whether you started and stopped or couldn't do it or you felt, listen, there's no guilt. Your guilt has been washed away because it's not about the food. It's not about your food. It's about the desire to be with the Lord. And if you're not fasting, jump in. There's some time left. We're going to the 21st, and after about day 7 or 8, you know, you're not hungry anymore, you'll have a day. But after about that 7th or 8th day, then you're not hungry anymore and you don't even care about eating. It's only a thought process. Your body doesn't need it. Trust me, your body doesn't need it. You're an American. So as we press into this time of prayer and fasting, some of it's about rooting out, some of it's about filling. Rooting out that old man, rooting out that fleshly thought, rooting out the lie of the enemy, and then filling ourselves with the Spirit of the living God. Filling ourselves in prayer, in the word, in worship, and filling ourselves to overflowing so that the world will be transformed by the power of your love. Amen? Which lives, or his love that lives inside of you. And I really want to encourage you that if you say, I don't care, who do you think you are to tell us to fast? I've heard that before. Oh, yeah. Yeah, why do you get to make the decision? Because I'm the pastor. You step into your calling, you make that decision. It's really that simple. Whatever, what God puts on a heart, there's no length of days that God says every year, this is what I mandate, because that becomes a law. This is something that God put on our hearts as a leadership. And we want to encourage everybody to step in. Why? Because these don't come out except by... So if you're not living in a complete freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you need to spend some time fasting with us. And I'm telling you why, it changes lives. Oh, it's powerful. It's powerful. Maybe you're just stuck in a rut. You need to get out of that rut. Have you ever been stuck in a rut and you use a jack and the jack just pushes down into the mud and your car doesn't come up? I don't know if that's ever happened to you. See, but fasting is sort of like a hijack. You ever see them? Used to be on the back of all the Jeeps and the trucks. It was a jack about 4.5 feet tall. Yeah, you could slide it under your truck, put a block of wood under it first, and you could jack that thing up 4 feet high and then just push it so your back tires are out of the rut or your front tires are out of the rut. I want you to know God's the hijack.
You're Jack. You doing it in your own strength. That's how little Jack's going down into the mud and just sinking out of sight. You ain't changing direction. You're not going anywhere. But then the Holy Spirit comes in and he's a hijack. And he lifts that all the way up, the whole thing out of the mud. And you have a whole new direction and you are free now. And you're not stuck in the rut anymore. And sometimes you need to spend some time fasting before that old thought process, that old, it's usually just arrogance, pride, stubbornness. Some of it's fear and pain and abuse. But for those that are in Christ, I think it's more the first thing that we talked about. So let's press into him. And sometimes we need the Lord to, or he needs to continue to, we need to continue to look at him or at what he has promised many times in each one of our lives. And as we look at Genesis chapter 13, we're reminded as Abraham, he left and he didn't know where he was going. Amen? And I would venture to guess that there's not a person in this room that knows where they're going to be at the end of this year. Forget the end of our lives. We don't even know where we're going to be at the end of this year. Can we agree with that? Right. We buried my sister-in-law last year. Mike buried his dad last year. There's other ones that have passed away last year. We don't know where we're going to be at the end of the year. Some people have moved away, got other jobs, live in other places. Some people are retiring or coming into that place. Some are just starting school, or maybe it's middle school or high school or college or a job. Praise God. I pray that every person in here has a job. That's another miracle that God can do. Amen? Everybody works. So I don't know what phase you're in or where you're at, but I want you to know. And we don't know where you're going to be at the end of this year, but I guarantee you that if you walk in Christ, it's going to be someplace spectacular. Amen. It's not going to be a geographical location. Why? Because geographical locations are caught up in time. Who needs to go to Florida? It's 65 degrees outside. It's not a geographical place. It's a place in Christ that we're at the end of the year. I don't know where you're going to be at, but I know where I'm going to be at. I'm not going to be where I am today. That's what I do know, because I'm not going to stop seeking him. And I'm going to go where he calls me. And so in Genesis chapter 13, it says, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to come out of the country. You're going to go where you don't know where you're going, and I'm going to lead you." Right? And then what happens? God blesses Abraham's obedience. That's what he did. He took a man with nothing and he made a great country out of him. He made a great community, started to build a great people. And he made him the father, the father of his called ones. But it said, after Lot had separated, now they have gone for a long time, their herds, everything is increased. We said it before, America is in a place of great increase compared to the 1950s. Now, I wouldn't say morality-wise, all right? But as far as needs being met and what's out there, I think there's about 7 days a week you can get a free meal in Hudson. There's not one soup line once a day. There's not a bread line here. Me and my wife stood in bread lines in Zimbabwe. What happens when you don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when a country pushes off and says we want nothing to do with him? We stood in the bread lines and watched them for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all waiting to get a loaf of bread. We tried to go through Zimbabwe waiting to get gas. And the pastor would send his son to the gas station at 1 o'clock in the morning because somebody called and said, "Hey, there's a delivery coming." So they had all their spies out everywhere just trying to find out where you could fill up your car, but you couldn't fill the gas can in your trunk. You weren't allowed to. That's too much gas. There's not enough. So it happens when we turn our backs on the things of God. But our country is a place with great abundance. Great abundance. We have people that come, the poor that come in and take from the food pantry. And I'll bet you that their pantry is stocked better than mine is. We give them good stuff. We've got a walk-in freezer that's full of meat that's been given to us. The stores say, "We have so much, we can't sell enough of it fast enough. Here, you take it, find people to give it to." How wonderful is that? Don't come up to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, can I get a roast? I need about a 10-pounder, all right?" See Lisa. But No, don't see Lisa. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's $30 a pound if you buy it, but we're giving it to them. But what I'm saying is no different than in Abraham's life. In your life right now, there's an abundance. God has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He set you on a path, and there's an abundance. There's an abundance of love, abundance of mercy, abundance of grace. And look at, we're all clothed, we're all fed, and we are all housed. God said, I'll meet all of your needs. Amen? And then he's given us enough to sow. No different than he did Abraham. And Abraham and Lot, they're both flourishing so much. Their men are flourishing. Their fields, their goats and their sheep and their cattle are all flourishing. And now they have so much they can't live together. He said the land can't handle all of the produce that we have or all the stock that we have. And so the Lord said Lot had separated from him. And we're reminded in the scriptures that Lot looked down in the valley and he saw the lush fields. And can I tell you, your eyes will deceive you. Your eyes will deceive you. So many times, people's eyes cause so much trouble, don't they? Just watch when a parent dies. And the brothers and sisters get together and they all walk in the house and they all say, well, let's just divvy things up. What do you look for? The most expensive thing? Do you want the cherished thing above all else? Are you willing to sneak in before everybody else goes in? Some people have. You want to talk about fights? Don't tell me your eyes. And the heart deceives us too. Because it wants, the lust of our eyes want. And sometimes our eyes will deceive us and cause us to do things that are outside the character of who we are in Christ. And we need to be very, very careful. And not that Lot was doing anything wrong, but Lot allowed his eyes to look down in the valley. His vision was down in the valley. Where would it be easiest? Just like the white-tailed deer. A deer, when it walks through the woods, he'll take the easiest path there is. You're a Christian. You're not given the easiest path there is. Stop looking for it. Stop trying to manipulate it. I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it, and I'm going to sit here and do what I want until Jesus comes. That's not our lot. Amen? God called us to build his kingdom. He didn't call us to sit back. He said, go, take my word and give it to every single one. So Lot looks down and he sees, oh, that's nice, that's fertile, that's beautiful. Cattle, I don't have to do a lot to prepare that ground. That ground's already been prepared. Abraham, what did he look at? Where did God tell him to look? As we look here in chapter 13 and verse 14, he says, I want you to look north, south, east, and west for all the land which you see. I'm going to give it to you and your descendants forever. Abraham didn't pick and choose. He didn't care. You know why? He didn't look at the piece of ground. He had the right. He had the authority. He had all the reasons in the world to pick whatever he wanted because he was a senior man. He was the man that God chose. He was the man that God led. Lot knew everything he had. He was blessed because Abraham obeyed. And they walked together. Abraham had every right to choose the best. But he said, doesn't matter to me. Why? Because his vision was clear. He said, because my God supplies all my needs. He said, because no matter what piece of property my God gives me, I know it'll be enough to sustain all that he's called me to. So he didn't even ask for a piece. Here he is. Hey, are we able to do that? Are we able to do that when your parents come up and say, well, this is what I want to give you? Do you look at it and say, really? Are you kidding me? What'd you give them? That's none of your business. Yeah, it is. What about fair? What about your parents say worked their whole lives to inherit, to build that up, and they can give it to whoever they want? You can when you get old and die, right? Some of you better get your wills going right now. I don't know where you're going to be the end of this year. But I'm telling you, sometimes our eyes, what we want supersedes what he's called us to do. Because what we want now starts to bring divisions and schisms. Abraham said, I don't want no problems. You pick what you want. You take what you want. And I believe that we need to come before the Lord and say the same thing. Lord, I know what I can see, and I know what my flesh craves, but I want to do what you call me to do. I want you to lead me to the place that you have for me, because I know that no matter what land it is, because land is temporal, it's all going to burn, amen? There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hot dog, new earth. Isn't that going to be amazing? The lion and the lamb laying down together. Huh. No more hunting. Rats. But a new heaven and a new earth. So wherever he sends you and whatever everybody else is gathering, that's not what distracts us. We're not looking for the best and then settle down and then start to compromise who we are. But he said, Abraham said, look, you take whatever you want. You take it out, whatever, wherever you want to go. He said, I'll take whatever's left. Lot takes his. The Lord says, okay, Abraham, now I want you, come here, come on up on this hill. I want you to look in every direction because your heart was right. Because you didn't want something that was temporal. You didn't want something, you didn't demand, I have the authority. I'm the senior man here. I'm the one that worked hard for this. I'm the one that believed for it. I'm the one that built this. You said, take whatever you want, because my trust is in my God. And God said, okay, now look north, south, east, and west. Oh, that we would trust the Lord that way, because I want to hear those words, amen? We plant a church in Stuyvesant. Whoever goes there, you better look north, south, east, and west, because he wants to give you everybody in that area. No man is, I didn't come here to pastor a church. I came here to pastor a whole area. Amen. Everything within the Twin Counties, it was within our grasp, and then the uttermost parts of the world. Amen? But this is an area because we want local church, so we don't want them driving 4 hours to get to church because they can't be to a lot of things. We want local church building and strengthening one another, equipping each other for the work of the ministry so their eyes are not fixed on temporal things, but we're looking at it from eternity so that no matter what happens, we say, well, that's fine because my eyes are on the Lord, and wherever he leads me, he's going to give me the north, south, east, and west. He's not going to give me some little plot of land like Lot took. He's going to give me everything else when my heart is right. Amen? And in 1 Kings, sometimes with our eyes, because he said, look from the place where you are in Genesis. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know where you're at right now, but God doesn't want you looking through someone else's eyes. God doesn't want you looking from a different place. He knows where you're at. Tell your neighbor, say, God knows where you're at. He knows where you've been frustrated. He knows where you feel like you have failed. He knows the challenges that are in your mind, the thoughts that go over your mind all the time. And most of the time, the thoughts that try to invade your head are not positive. Amen? Most of them try to destroy you, cripple you, stop you from stepping out in all that he's promised. Most of those thoughts, God knows exactly where you're at. And he says, look, I want you to look up from where you're at. He said, stop looking down. Don't look down. I want you to look up, and then I want you to look all around, because that's how much I want to give you. Oh, I want you to know, I don't know what grace you're walking in, but I know he wants you to give you, he wants you to walk in the fullness of his grace. I don't know how much love that you had to pour out in other people's lives, but I want you to know, he wants you to look up unto him, because he's going to fill you with a supernatural love, a love that's enough for no matter who you come in contact with, their lives are going to be changed. He said, just look up from where you are. Don't wait. Don't say, I got to pray some more. I got to read some more. Maybe I need to fast some. You do, but not in order to get God or to be able to hear God's voice. Amen? We just hear a little bit clearer because we don't waste so much time in all the other foolishness. And I just want to say, you know, maybe you said you can't fast. It just came to my mind. And you've never done it before, and I can't. Brother Paul, he never fasted before, and he's been going for about 8-9 days. He's out in the cold all the time, and he's only done water. That's all he's done. Never fasted before in his life. I want you to know, with God, all things are possible. Do you get cold? I do. I have extra blankets on my bed. Yeah, I get cold, but I want him more. You get hungry for a little bit? Yeah, but I want him more. I want a breakthrough in my life. And I need these things out of my life. So he said, look up from where you are. In 1 Kings 18, 41 to 43, it says, now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound. And we know the story. Hasn't rained in 3 years. And so Ahab went up and to eat and drink. But Elijah went up to the Mount of
at the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Now go up and look at the sea." So he went up, and he looked, and he said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go back seven times." Maybe there's something that God has told you a while ago that you looked at the scriptures and you agreed with. Maybe there's been a prophetic word that's been spoken over you. And maybe you cast that aside because maybe you got railroaded. Maybe you got off track. Maybe you blew a tire and went in the ditch on one side or the other. Maybe somebody didn't do what you wanted them to do in your life for you in leadership. And I'll be the first one to repent and apologize to anyone that I have had a part in derailing, because I didn't act just right. I didn't say things just right. I didn't encourage enough. I wasn't there. I missed an appointment, because it's going to happen. Amen. You missed some appointments too. One time we invited people over for dinner. We showed up and they were in the driveway. We said, "Hi." They said, "Hi, what's happening?" They said, "Well, we're here for dinner." We said, "Oh yeah, that's right." They said, "You forgot, didn't you?" We said, "Yeah, we'll order pizza." Forgot that they were coming to my house for dinner. Grace happens. But listen, and that's happened more than once. Just saying. I've left my children at the church. Forgot them there. I forgot people coming to the house for dinner. So if I've done anything to cause you to not look up at all that God has, I need you to once again forgive, or anyone in leadership here, I need you to forgive, and it might take you seven times. Maybe you've looked up one or two times, but I want you to know, you might have to look up again. Yes. You might have to look up again and say, "Wait a minute, it's bigger than any other person in this room. It's bigger than anybody else that's temporal on the earth. Anyone that's in the process of time, maybe it has nothing to do with them, and I need to look up again." And I believe that he's telling everybody here, he wants to clear up your vision, but you're going to have to look up, and maybe you're going to have to look up seven times. Because maybe every time, the first time that you look up, you only see the face of the one that let you down. Maybe you only see your failure. Maybe you only see what went awry, and God didn't do what you told him to do when you told him to do it. But I want to encourage you this year. I believe he wants you to look up from where you are. And then he said he wants you to look up seven more times. You see, because Elijah was looking not in the temporal realm, he was looking in the supernatural realm. You know where Elijah's look was for supernatural? Between his knees. He buried his head in his knees. He needed to see nothing else but the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you can't see anything else. I want you to see the face of your father. Elijah knew. He said, "Go on back and look. Go back and look again. Go back and look." There was no doubt in Elijah's mind that the storm was coming. The rain was coming. The blessing was coming. The answer to his prayer was coming. The word of God was going to be fulfilled. And Elijah didn't doubt it. And he didn't have to see it with his eyes. He stuck his head in his lap. And he told the one with unbelief, "Go back and look seven times." If you're here and you're struggling in that unbelief, go back and look at it seven times. Go back and look at the prophetic words that God spoke over your life. Oh, the Bible says to what? Wage war with them. Care how young you are, how old you are, there's still a purpose and a plan that God has, and I guarantee it's bigger than what we're all living. I'm not living out the fullness of all that God's spoken over my life. Not yet. But I'm looking up. And I'm going to look up again and again and again and again and again and again and again until I can see what he said in his word and what's been prophesied over my life to come to fruition. Amen? Yes. This year, your vision has to be clear. Look up from where you're at. Don't get pick and choosing and trying to take the most cozy, comfy, easiest route like Lot did, because it caught him in some trouble. Amen? Even cost him his wife, because she desired the easy things rather than the purpose of God. She looked back to what the world was doing rather than looking to what God has said. She didn't look up. She looked back. Stop looking back. And let's stand up as we look up this morning. Mark chapter 5 and verse 32, he said, and he looked around to see the woman who had done this. Jesus looked around to see the woman who has done this. What did that woman do?
She reached out and she touched him. She grabbed a hold of his garment. So what did she really do? She acted in faith. She didn't look at the issue of blood. She looked at the Savior of the world. She didn't look at her faults and her weaknesses. She didn't look at the part where she wasn't even allowed to be in public by herself. She looked up at the King of Glory, the healer of every issue in your life and every issue in my life. That's what she did. She stepped out in faith. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, wherever you are at, I need you to look up. Because that which he spoke over your life is still there waiting for you. God doesn't take it away. Isn't he good? He spoke it over your life, and he didn't say, no, you didn't do it quick enough. Sorry, you're out. That's not what God does. God, you know what God says? Look up again. Yeah, all right. Wait, look up again. Look up again. Look up again. Eventually, we look up. What? And then it stands before us. A plan so beautiful. Lives changed. Families set at liberty. I had to look up many times before my dad got saved. I had to keep looking up. Things didn't always go good when he wasn't saved. I prayed and I fasted and I cried out to God. And I'll tell you, God did not do what I told him to do the first time I told him. But I didn't stop looking up. And I got to lead my dad to the Lord and baptize him. There's nothing greater than a soul set free, amen? A relationship restored. Restored to the King of Glory. Our eyes are going to be out there this year. Our purpose is going to be out there this year. Our goal is going to be out there this year. We are not preaching and training and equipping to sit here. Wrong place, wrong season, wrong hour, wrong bunch of people. You are too gifted, too talented. You are the called, you are the anointed. All of it you possess right now. But we're going to have to look up seven more times. And we're going to push. No, we're going to lead. But it might feel like pushing sometimes. How many know you might need a little nudge every once in a while? How many know some of you might need a shovel in the back of the head? And every man in here raise their hand. We need that encouragement because what you've been created for is spectacular. You weren't created just to hang. You created to build this kingdom. Let's pray.